ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today's text is 11, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Nibuddha Te Dam Britam Bravimi Bravimi Nivodhata Te Dam Ritam Bravimi Masui Tum Devam Arasya Aprameyam Aprameyam Masui Tum Devam Arasya Aprameyam Vayam bhavaste tata esha maharishir Vayam bhavaste tata esha maharishir Bahama sarve vivasa jasya deshtam Bahama sarve vivasa jasya deshtam Sri Bhagavan uvacha Nibuddha tate dam ritam bravimi Masuitam devam rasya prameyam Vayam bhavaste Te tata esha maharshir Mahama sarve vivasa jasya dishtam Sri Bhagavan uvacha Nibuddha tate damritam bravimi Masuitim devam arhasya aprameyam Vayam bhavaste tata esha maharshir Vahama sarve vivasa jasya drishtam Sri Bhagavan uvacha The Supreme Personal Lord Brahma said, Nibodha, kindly hear with attention. Tata, my dear son, idam, this, ritam, true, bravimi, I am speaking, ma, not, asuitum, to be jealous of, devam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, arhasi, you ought, aprameyam, who is beyond our experimental knowledge. Vayam, we, bhava, Lord Shiva, te, your, tata, father, yesha, this, maharishi, Narada, vahama, carry out, sarve, all, vivasha, unable to deviate, jasya, of whom, dishtam, the order. Translation, Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person within this universe said, My dear Priyavrata, kindly hear attentively what I shall say to you. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond our experimental measurements. All of us, including Lord Shiva, your father, and the great sage Maharishi Narada, must carry out the order of the Supreme Lord. We cannot deviate from his order. Prabhupada, of the 12 great authorities in the devotional service, 4, Lord Brahma himself, his son Narada, Swayambhuva Manu, and Lord Shiva, were present before Priyavrata. They were accompanied by many other authoritative sages. Brahma first wanted to impress upon Priyavrata that, although these great personalities are all authorities, they cannot possibly disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, who is described in this verse as Deva, which means always glorious. The power, glory, and potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be diminished. In the Ishopanishad, Lord is described as Apapa Vidha, which indicates that he is never affected by anything materially considered sinful. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Personality of Godhead as being so powerful that nothing we might consider vulnerable can affect him. An example sometimes given to explain the position of the Supreme Lord is that of the sun, which evaporates urine from the earth but is never affected by contamination. The Supreme Lord can never be accused of doing anything wrong. When Lord Brahma went to induce Priyavrata to accept the responsibility for ruling the universe, he did not go whimsically. He was following the dictation of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, Brahma and other genuine authorities never do anything without his permission. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Tena Brahma Hidaya Yadi Kavaye. The Lord dictated Vedic knowledge to Brahma through his heart. The more a living entity is purified by devotional service, the more he comes in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Tesham tatata suktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam jenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Lord Brahma, therefore, had not come to Priyavrata by his own whims. Rather, it is understood that he had been ordered to persuade Priyavrata by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities cannot be understood by material senses, and who is therefore described herein as Aparameya. Thus, Lord Brahma first advised Priyavrata to hear his words with attention and without envy. Why one is induced to perform certain acts despite his desire to do something else is indicated herein. One cannot disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord, even if one is as powerful as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Manu, or the great sage Narada. All these authorities are certainly very powerful, but they do not have the power to disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Lord Brahma had come to Priyavrata in accordance with the orders of the Supreme Lord, he first wanted to dispel any suspicions that he might be acting as Priyavrata's enemy. Lord Brahma was following the orders of the Supreme Lord, and therefore it would be worthwhile for Priyavrata to accept Lord Brahma's order as the Lord desired. Read the purport, the translation. Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person within this universe, said, "My dear Priyavrata, kindly hear attentively what I shall say to you. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond our experimental measurements. All of us, including Lord Shiva, your father, and the great sage Maharishi Narada, must carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord, so Supreme, we cannot deviate from his order." So this is a instruction and orders of Supreme Lord coming down through Brahma. to Priyavrata. So one thing we can understand from this purport, that one is acting on the order of the Supreme Lord. There is no concoction. That's one thing we should know. There's no concoction in the Vedic scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because these are the orders of the Supreme Lord, and it's coming down, carried out by Lord Brahma. That's the first thing. And Lord Brahma, he's not concocting anything. He's following the orders of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord. So Priyavrata, he is accepting the orders of Brahma. Whatever he has to do, he's doing it despite his own desire, perhaps. But even though he may not want to do something, but because it's the order of Lord Brahma, it's the order of Krishna. And like I said, Lord Brahma, he doesn't do anything that is different from the order of Krishna. He's a creator. So Lord Brahma is acting on the order of Lord Krishna. So in this way, there is everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's authoritative, authentic. It's mentioned here, authoritative. Authoritative. It's not that one make anything up. That's why Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Prabhupada explains that the instruction is coming down from Brahma from Krishna to the heart of Brahma. It's mentioned here. Tene Brahma Hida Ya Yadi Kavaye. That was the way that instruction would come down from Krishna to Brahma, and Brahma would then in return follow that order up to for the creation of the universe. So there's everything, there's a system. So even though the demigods, they're acting on the Supreme Lord, it's not that they are making anything up. Sometimes there's a understanding among the people. People think that, you know, the demigods, they have the ultimate power to do what they want to do. But that's never a fact, because the demigods, they are Vaishnava, they are devotees. Sura. Sura means demigods who are devotees of Krishna. They do what Krishna, in accordance with what Krishna's plan is. And Lord Brahma, he is sometimes known as Bhagavan, because Lord Brahma, he is the creator of this universe. And Lord Brahma himself, like I said, he is always following the order of Lord Krishna, coming down. And similarly, Narada Muni, Swayambhu Manu, the Manus of this universe, the different authorities. Prabhupada explains right in the beginning, there are four authoritative persons in the universe. That's Lord Brahma himself, his son Narada, Swayambhu Manu, and Lord Shiva. They are authoritative individuals within this universe. So even ordinary people, we don't have the power to do anything that we want to do. There's always, we are induced by the demigods. Even we move our hand, if we're moving our hand, you know, we're picking up something, moving around. This is actually done by the power of the demigods. There are 33 million demigods, and each of the demigods, they have a particular responsibility in this universe, universal affairs. So we don't have, we are not totally independent. Somebody wants to come in. We don't have the, so Lord, so Narada Muni, talk about a little bit about Narada Muni. My throat is killing. Thank you. Narada Muni is such a wonderful person. He always comes when there is a problem, to solve the problem, or else he's also coming to associate with devotees in the material world. There's devotees everywhere. And one time, Srila Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class somewhere in America, and Srila Prabhupada, while he was giving a class, he was always looking at the corner, one corner all the time. So devotees noticed that he was looking at a corner all the time. But they are not asked Prabhupada, why are you looking over there? So they kept seeing Prabhupada when he was talking and he was looking at a corner, like sometimes we're speaking to the audience. But he, Prabhupada, particularly kept looking at one particular corner while he was giving the talk. So this is one devotee, he wanted to ask him. So he says he was thinking not to ask him during the class, but he will find a time suitable for him to ask Prabhupada when Prabhupada would be ready, when he's on his own. So then the next day, Prabhupada was on his own, and that devotee thought this would be a good time to ask Prabhupada, you know, why he was looking there at the corner while he was giving class. He said, Prabhupada, can I ask you a question? Yesterday you were giving the class, and during the class you were always looking at one corner. Why you were looking at one corner? Prabhupada said, didn't you see? There was Narada Muni there. While I was giving the talk, Prabhupada said, Narada Muni was sitting there in the corner, he was listening. That's why I was admiring his presence. So, yeah. Sometimes the demigods come down. And Narada Muni is not demigod. He is Krishna's messenger, transcendental messenger, universal preacher. He's always traveling. So here, it's mentioned here that Lord Brahma first advised Priyavrata to hear his words with attention and without envy. So my point is that to be able to grasp the attention of Krishna, to understand the philosophy, to go down deep in our heart, one has to be free from jealousness. That is the verse that explains it. One should be free from envy. This is the reason why we're all in this material world, because we are originally, there was a tinge of jealousness in our heart. A tinge. You cannot go back to Godhead if you have some envy in our heart. There's always some jealousness, because those who are pure, nirmatsaranam satam, those who are pure in heart, nirmatsaranam, they're free from jealousness and envy. They can understand the Bhagavatam. And this month, the devotees are distributing so many Bhagavatam. It's amazing. You know, everything is locked down, we're not allowed to go out. And despite all these restrictions, this Bhagavatam sits is going out like you know, by sets and sets. I can't imagine how here in Melbourne they just read out the score this morning. 60 sets or 16 sets? Just in 68 sets of Bhagavatam. I can't imagine. You know, Bhagavatam, how many books there are? A whole bunch. You know, there's big. This man, you can see on the shelf there. So some individual devotees and others, they're buying the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two types of devotees. One is the walking devotee, the living devotee, and the books Bhagavatam devotee. Books are devotees, because devotee means one is talking about Krishna. So if you're buying the Bhagavatam, just touching the book, touching the Srimad Bhagavatam, you're touching Krishna. Krishna is not different from these words. So when you devotees, they're addressing the deed in the morning, in the altar, they're touching Krishna. So when you touch the Bhagavatam, you're actually touching Krishna. So sometimes you're distributing books in the street, you just get them to touch the Bhagavatam. Then they'll have a change of heart and they'll end up buying it. At least get them to touch. Because the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the power of the words of Krishna in the Bhagavatam, it will affect their heart directly. Tene brahma hidaya yadi kavante muraya. So the words of Krishna coming down from the heart to heart of a devotee. They have to hear Srinvatam sakatam Krishna, the tropics of Krishna. We have to hear that topic. The nectar of Krishna consciousness is coming down, like pouring down into the ear of a devotee. Sukatam, Like Shukadev Goswami, Shuka means parrot. Parrot, they always go for a ripe mango. Have you eaten a ripe mango from a tree, not artificially ripened? So sometimes we used to go to a mango tree and find that tree, find a mango where eaten by a bird. And on the other side is very sweet. I don't know how it happens, but the mango is very sweet that it's eaten by a bird on the other side. The parrot, they always go and pick on the sweet mango. And so that mango is so sweet. So we cut the other side of the other side of the mango and eat it. It's so sweet. So similarly, it's mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by the Sukadeva Goswami is even more sweeter. Spoken by Srila Prabhupada is even more sweeter. Touched by the lips of a pure devotee. This is why devotees are eager to hear Krishna Katha from a devotee who has much more knowledge, devotees who are very pure. Because those who are not pure, they cannot tell this Srimad Bhagavatam nicely because they are not pure in the heart. They will speculate. A non-devotee will speculate. A professional speaker. And after they finish, they go outside. When he's finished speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam, he go out the door and light a cigarette. That is professional speaking. They don't have any change. You cannot change the heart of others. They don't have the power to change the heart of other living entities because they themselves are not pure. The Srimad Bhagavatam is so powerful just by touching it. So Srila Prabhupada has given us these books, Bhagavatam sets, Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are enough for us to study. We don't have to go elsewhere. It's more than a lifetime of study, this Bhagavatam. Bhakti Sastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, and what's the other one? Postgraduating in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and then postgraduate of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is on and on, so much to learn. If you read, I remember when we first joined, we had to read teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and then nectar devotion, and Bhagavad Gita, Isha Upanishad, and nectar of instruction. These books were like the Bhakti Shastri. The first time I read the Bhakti Shastri, we had to study the Bhagavad Gita so clearly, chapter by chapter. And we're doing the English learning in school, and as part of the training, as a part of the Bhakti Shastri, also learning English from Prabhupada's books. We didn't learn English from like a Karmi curriculum, those books. It's from Bhagavad Gita. So all the words that we use, that Prabhupada used in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada used in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's enough for us to. Because we want to be a preacher. If you want to be a preacher of Krishna consciousness, you need to learn those words that Prabhupada used. Because in our time, in the 70s, all the books were in English. So everybody, all over the world, there was no other books. They haven't translated yet. There was no Spanish books, there's no Bengali books, there's no any Hindi books. All Prabhupada's books in the 70s, early 70s. So, and Prabhupada himself was always speaking English. So we thought, you know, we have to learn English because so then we can attract Prabhupada and we can read his books. So there's so much emphasis on reading, on learning English. So I was so ecstatic, always wanted to learn English. And writing down anywhere there's some English, even, you know, on the side of a newspaper in English, I'm writing it down to learn the English. So eager to learn English so I can read Prabhupada's books. And so we had the Bhakti Shastri course I did in Vrindavan Gurukul, and part of the Bhakti Shastri was Bhagavad Gita. It was, we had four teachers, three teachers. One teacher was teaching us nectar devotion. Another teacher was teaching us Bhagavad Gita. And another teacher was teaching us nectar instruction, Isha Upanishad. So when it was time for me to do the exam, the final exam on Bhagavad Gita, I took 7 hours to write down. 7 hours. They say you can take all as much time you need. There's limiting, as long as you do it nicely. So when he first started the Bhakti Sastri course in Vrindavan Gurukul, there were 16 of us in the Gurukul, 16 kids, all from everywhere. I was the only Indian, a kid from India. And there was another one here from South Africa. So everybody dropped out. It was so difficult, too difficult. And so it was me, Dharkadish, and Virabhadra. He's from America, and Virabhadra from South Africa. We did the Bhakti Sastri course. And so we had to, it was week by week. First week, we do one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, very clearly. We read through the whole thing. And then we would have, at the end of 1 week, we'd have exam on that chapter. So it was like, we read through the whole thing and then revise it. And then on the third day, we would, oh, so it's 5 days. Third day, we'd do an essay on the topic. There are many topics. So you take one, and there's a library, we had to. So when you do the essay, every essay had to be at least 30 lines. Not less than that. And you have to quote a verse from a Bhagavatam also, and other books, Puranas, not just Bhagavad Gita, supporting that point. So it was really wonderful. And then we had to also learn English grammar on top of that. So when we did the exam, and the last day, and on the fourth day, we had to give a lecture in the class. So we had a teacher would be sitting, taking notes. So the lecture would be on the topic that you prepare, the essay you prepare. And the lecture has to be at least 30 minutes. And when you're giving the lecture, you need to support it, the point you're making by quoting a verse, plus story. Story, example, and verse. And story and example must be relation scriptural, not just to make up. So there was a lot of work on us. And in the Gurukul we had a machine they would print out, Kestetna machine, not like today. It's all ink and, you know. And then on the seventh day, the sixth day, there was a final exam. The final exam was we had to write down, of course, that the teacher would ask questions from the back. And he would invite some sannyasi or someone for the lecture. And they would ask questions. And we had to answer them in appropriate answers that are very satisfying, philosophical. So we're actually preparing to become like scholars. And then on the seventh day or sixth day, at the final exam, we had to... So write down at least 5 essays. Each essay would have to be 30 lines or more. And each essay would have to have at least 5 verses and heaps of examples, all in English. And then that's one thing. And he write down at least 10 verses from Bhagavad Gita in that chapter, in that particular chapter. 10 verses, there was no... there was no reference, all memory. So they would put BG and the number, and you have to fill it in with Sanskrit and translation. It was so good. And then we'd get marks. Every time I had marks like 98, 96, like that. Over 90 every time. I worked really hard. So I would get up. My thing was that get up at 2 in the morning and then get ready everything, chant 16 rounds before Mangala Arati. Finish all your rounds while everybody's chanting in the temple, or we'd be studying. Because that's the best time to study, because it's all, everyone's quiet and very peaceful. You can really concentrate on studying. So we're all ahead of everyone. And then we got really ecstatic. And so there was this one boy from Mexico. We were best friend. And we both were getting up like 1:30. 1:30 at night. So we go to sleep at 8 o'clock. We're really, really serious. And so So our teacher was very, very angry. We are getting up so early. So he confiscated our alarm clock. So then he was sleeping next door to me. I had the alarm clock, so the teacher took away my alarm clock. So I gave my alarm clock to him, the boy next door. So he said, I have a plan to get up. So he hung the ringing bell over his head, and it was in his room. So it was overnight, so nobody saw. The string would come to my room over a thing, and he'd ring. He'd pull the string, and the bell would ring, because he had the alarm clock. And then we'd get up, chant all around, everything. And just before the teacher wake us up, we go to sleep, take off the tilak and everything. And he would be thinking, oh, this guy is going to sleep. And so we had to do all this plan. If you want to study, you have to make some plan to get over all the people. So my point is, and then during the exam, they had 100 English vocabulary words as well, part of the Bhakti Shastri. So they would write the words from that chapter, those English words, and we had to fill it in, the translation, the meaning of those words. And some of those words also, we had to give their meaning, plus we have to spell. I was always really good at it in English. In Mayapur, some of the kids are really dumb, and they couldn't learn, you know. So they all wanted to, so every week they had a thing called an exam, oral exam, English learning oral. So then they had two groups. One groups were, and the other group, they called Radha Madhava and Panchatattva, like that, two groups. So I was on the Radha Madhava side. So they would ask you to say this word in English, and you have to spell it and give the meaning. And that group, they couldn't do it. And it come to my group, and they couldn't do it, and it comes to me. And every time I knew it, the word. So I fill it in. So everybody wanted to be my side to learn, because I knew what the word was and the meaning was. And it's all from Prabhupada's books. If you're not reading Prabhupada's books, you wouldn't know those words. So as simple as that. And so I was really eager to learn English. And if you win your group, they'll give all the Mahaprasadam offered to Radha Madhava, or the whole plate, Rajbhog. Because those days in India, we don't just give away Mahaprasadam like we do here. They would sell it. You have to order it. So anyway, so it was very interesting how we learn Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged us. So they had a very systematic way to learn, study Srila Prabhupada's books and Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And at the end, in the final exam of the Bhakti Shastri and Bhagavad Gita only, and the different other books, I had to finish one notebook like this, big fat notebook. We had to write down 30 essays. The final exam. And 50 verses, Bhagavad Gita. 50 verses. You have to fill in Sanskrit and translation. Plus vocabulary, 500 vocabulary. I was like, phew. The two other boys, they finish in 3 to 4 hours. I took 7 hours. But I had to think and write and remember and stuff. But we, three of us, got the Bhakti Shastri. First Bhakti Shastri in ISKCON. You can ask anyone. It was Hidayananda Maharaj who made up the Bhakti Shastri curriculum for us in the school. And then I did it again, second time, on Atmatata Prabhu in Mayapur. So my point is that if you need to study Srimad Bhagavatam nicely, if you really study like seriously and care, I haven't been studying recently because I'm thinking I learned that time, so I already know. But actually, we have to study all the time. It's the Krishna consciousness and its philosophy and the chanting Hare Krishna and the concept, the philosophy is so sweet. Every time you read, every time you study, it's ever fresh. Isn't it? The Prabhupada sometimes said the same thing over and over. Because every time you read, it's like reading for the first time. because it's ever fresh. Just like chanting Hare Krishna. I'm sure you're not chanting perfectly. And that's why when you chant Hare Krishna, each time, and he emphasized on the mantra, and he focused on the mantra, and he actually feel fantastic. You feel really good because it's ever fresh. It's transcendental. It's not a material thing. So Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly, it's transcendental. So it says here, all these authorities are certainly very powerful, but they do not have the power to disobey the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's another thing. So if we can actually follow, not speculate, it will have much more effect on the mantra, much more effect on what we are studying. There must be some sincerity to really follow those orders. Just like if you're given an order to do some service, if you want to really execute that order, if you really want to please the authorities, please Krishna, please Guru Maharaj, we want to follow the orders, then sincerely we want to do it. Like if you're doing the fruit offering, you're doing the arati, or you're cooking offering, any service we do, go on preaching, distributing books, anything we do, if you really sincerely want to do it, we put an effort to do it, Krishna will help us. That's why it says here, desam satadujuktanam. Krishna says, I'm sitting in the heart. I'll give you the intelligence to do it. It's not a personal endeavor. The personal endeavor is always there. At the same time, we know Krishna is there to help me. The sincerity must be there. It is not just the duty we do, like a machine. We have to have that inner consciousness. The inner consciousness is the desam satadujuktanam. Krishna says, I'm sitting in the heart. I will guide you. He is going to guide you if you're in that consciousness. Krishna, please help me. I can't do it. I'm useless. I can say, I am useless and I am not going to do it. And then you sit there. Krishna is only going to help you when you make an effort. Isn't it? Saying one thing and doing another thing. The effort is when you execute the order of your Guru Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada, he executed the order of his Guru Maharaj. It's not an easy task. I can't do it, and I sit back. And Prabhupada always said, Krishna is always there next to me, my spiritual master next to me. He was there to help me. And these words Prabhupada wrote, Prabhupada said, Krishna's words. Krishna was dictating to him. They're writing down. Krishna spoke. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it is so dynamic. Why is it dynamic and it's so powerful? There's thousands of devotees all over the world. They read the Bhagavatam. They read Prabhupada's books and they become devotees because it's so powerful. It has the shakti. It has the Krishna's sending down his mercy through his devotees, through these books. Krishna's there in his books. He's sitting around and, you know, he's sitting. I've seen the boys from the ashram, you know, we have more time now. And I've seen all of you, you know, every one of you. I'm the only one going to the ashram and ha 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 ha. And everybody's so serious, they're all reading books, and someone is chanting. It's very amazing, very inspiring. I go to the ashram, I'm thinking I'm going to have a little bit of a chat with everyone. I feel so bored. I sit there and have. And no one's around, everyone's somewhere. Under the tree, someone's Prabhupada's room, everyone's studying, they have service to do. This actually is a good way to keep ourselves busy in Krishna consciousness. So many Prabhupada's books, take the time to study them. Why you can distribute so many books? Because you're sincere to get those books out to those people. There are thousands of people all over the world, millions of people. They're sincere, they want to know about Krishna. We have to get to them. First to get to them, otherwise somebody else will get to them and give some impersonal aspect. So we have the highest duty to perform. That duty is to distribute Bhagavatam, distribute Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, those who are going out distributing my book, they are the highest devotees.
Prabhupada glorified all his devotees distributing his books. I touched, you know, I personally touched their feet and during the Charanamrita. I don't care. He distributed Prabhupada books, Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll drink the water, wash your feet. That's the attitude we have to have. You know, 68 Srimad Bhagavatam, this 1 week, right, or just this month, they got them out. And everything is nobody around, people are inside the house, it's locked down, we're in a coronavirus pandemic time, no one's around. And they got 68, even when everything is open, we didn't distribute that many books. So that means people are hungry for spiritual knowledge. They're thirsty for Krishna consciousness. They have more time, they want to read. And so, and it's like a time bomb. They should explain it as a time bomb. They buy the books, they may be not reading it straight away, and Krishna make the arrangements. They feel anxiety, they're sitting in their room watching TV, it's all so boring, and then they look at the shelf, they see the books, they say, oh, let me just read that. And boom, they start to feel ecstatic about Krishna consciousness. They get the knowledge from the books. And they start reading, and pretty soon, you know, they're running to the temple. Where Hare Krishna temple is. This is all time bomb exploding. And then they're going to the temple, Hare Krishna temple. So Prabhupada's books is so ecstatic because ecstasy comes from different things. From taking prasaram, from doing, also by reading his books. Just like oral reception. When he hears somebody telling a story, oh, can you tell again? What did he say? They want to hear, right? So Krishna consciousness is like that. These books are like that. It's so interesting and it's so touching that you want to hear again and again and read again and again. And those who are distributing, you want to buy a set from them. So get these books out and keep the BBT busy. Print more, print more. When did they print Bhagavatam? They must have heaps of it already, huh? I never heard they're printing Bhagavatam. They must have so much. Because they're distributing and distributing all over the world. They must be printing again. I remember they had a movie a long time ago in the 70s. We saw a movie. It's called The Hare Krishna People. Did you see that movie? Oh, you have to see it. I could see it again and again. It was so good. It's like chanting Hare Krishna. And they show how Srila Prabhupada is staying up at night and translating, putting into a speaker, and then it goes to a transcriber, and they have the thing, and they're typing it down. This those days, it's so noisy. They didn't have the technology like now. And so they're typing it all down, and then they send it to the all the manuscripts, and they send it to the BBT, and then they're all make it into books and then go to the printing press and then they have huge machines and then the BBT office, it's big building. It's like, and then they're ringing bell, ding, ding, you know, like going to a big building where there's like office building and the different people working and then the books gets printed and the big printing machine and they go, and the printing going on and the books are coming out. Papers coming out, then they put it together, becoming books. And someone's doing the artwork, the pictures. And there's Yamuna Maharaji. That's Maharaji is very famous. He did the art. Jadurani. And then she's talking something about Prabhupada told her how Prabhupada first told her how to do the painting, and Prabhupada liked it. And there's a whole story on that. And all these pictures and came into Bhagavatam. And then the first set came out. And Prabhupada's looking at it, and his Prabhupada's smiling and admiring it. And then they're packing the books into different boxes. And then it goes into, they're writing down at the BBT, this is for South Africa, this is for India, this is for Mumbai, this is for... And it goes in the airplane, it goes... And then they show the post box and the letters. And then they do the close-up of the post box. And somebody's getting out the magazine. And people are reading, and then they show devotee in the street distributing it. And then a busy street in New York, people going, and then some devotee stopping someone, and then they did the video of that. And then how that person came to meet Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada a question, and how Srila Prabhupada. And then this whole movie is like that, starting from the printing of books. And it's so nice, you got to see it. And I saw it when I first joined. I thought, wow. And then they show how they're making a gulab jamun in the kitchen. And some devotee making gulab jamun. Foreigners. I thought, wow. And they're mixing the dough. I thought, how you can make gulab jamun from a flour? And then and they fry it and it comes out round and there's juice and people eating. And then they show it in the movie, the Sunday Feast. These people, like, they had all the hair going down, like hippies. And they're eating gulab jamun and their juice coming down their throat and right down their mouth. And they are just, they're doing this. And we were just kids in India. And we never saw this. And foreigners and eating all the, making gulab jamun and they're eating it. And we're going, wow, look at that. Wow, look at that. And we're admiring it. And here, and I came here, I was making gulab jamun myself. The same way they were showing it in the movie. And so how amazing Prabhupada. Huh? And I remember when I was at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. I stayed there for 6 months. And so I needed some money, and my traveling money is running out. So one devotee said, I'll give you a job. And you helped me at the BBT. This was in the 1990s, 91. And he said, they had these cassettes. Before the CD came out, there's cassette. So his job was to, like all Prabhupada lecture, you dub it. It's called dubbing it. You have a machine, you can put 10 cassette, and you put master copy, and you press, you know, recording. And they're all going, and it's very fast, like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, all recorded. And then you take, put them in special, like a book, not book, a folder, and you put this proper lecture, 1968, and it's all there. And then you put it all in, another one. And then you have to put it in the box, this goes to this country, that, they send it off. So that was my job. And you have to be very smart, like you have to know what you're doing, otherwise you mix it up. And then they pay me at the end of the week. I really loved it because it's all Krishna's work. And I was traveling, my money was running out, so I got this job at the BBT, BBL. And so they were like giving me like 50 pounds a week, not much. But at the end of the month, you got all this money, you know. And then I said, I'm taking off now, you know, traveling, preaching again. So they had all this way, you know, Prabhupada. So ISKCON has everything. You know, they can provide jobs. Prabhupada says, you know, Krishna consciousness, we have everything. You know, everything people want is all there. If the whole world can become Krishna conscious, we can engage all the people. There's no anxiety. If Prabhupada said one day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said one day it will come with the judges will be wearing tilak. Devotees will be the managers of the world. Just like Priyavrata and Brahma, the universal manager. The whole world will be run by devotees. It will come. They're gonna run out all the problems. They have so many problems, they're gonna run out of all the, they don't have any solution. They're gonna turn to devotees. They're going to. It's mentioned in Calcutta, when the British was ruling India, there was no rain for months and months. So the religious people, the Hare Krishna, the Gauriya Math, they said, Jan Hare Krishna, we go in this street, massive Harinam, the rain will come. They said, Hare Krishna, Harinam, how are you going to make rain come? They didn't believe it. But they have no solution. They said, if you don't believe it, then you find another way to do it. Come up with a solution. Then they said, okay, just let's go. We'll go on Harinam. They had everybody, by law, they had to go on Harinam because they believed that the Harinam will bring the rain. Then that evening, it's mentioned in the diary. If you go to UK, they have big museum and they have all the stories from India that's written there. That they went chanting Hare Krishna in the street, all the people, and in the same afternoon, they had a huge rain cloud, monsoon cloud. It was pouring rain. Rain came down from Harinam. So they said, wow, Hare Krishna, you're right. So then Krishna would make arrangement that they're going to turn to Vaishnavas. They're going to turn to Bhagavatam. They're going to turn to Krishna consciousness for solution. Yeah. So everything is there. If we are sincere, Krishna will help us. That's what this verse is. Krishna in our heart. He will guide us if we are sincere. There's no problem. We create problem, but that problem can be solution. The solution there if we take shelter to Krishna. Krishna says, come on. I have the solution, come to me. But we're not ready to listen to him. So we come up with so many other ideas. Yeah. So the demigods, they cannot solve a solution on their own. That's why they went to the bank of the clear ocean. Brahma himself, along with Shiva, please. It's not that they called him over the phone. They meditated and they got the instruction. Tene Brahma Hidayadika Vante, heart to heart. And that instruction is coming down from Brahma, Narada, like this, all the way down to Prabhupada and today. So if you want the instruction, if you want the solution, we have to get it from Krishna. He has it. That solution is ultimate solution. Chant the holy name. Read the Bhagavatam. Distribute his books. Worship the deity. Process is already there. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I can see you have a question you want us to ask. Maharaj, any questions? Bolo? This is all storyline. So Srimad Bhagavatam has two lines. One is the storyline, one is the philosophy line. So we can derive philosophy, but the story is sometime can be within the story. So sometimes some affair, some managerial affair or managerial ruling, so there's some changes. But when it comes to philosophy, that is intact. So according to managerial circumstances or managerial distribution, there may be some changes. Or Priyavrata, or the demigods, or Brahma. Like Priyavrata was asked by God himself, Krishna, to Brahma, to have a family. But the idea is that so he can concentrate on management. So everything is a service. It's all within the service related. So sometimes people are brahmacharis, they become grihasthas. It's not that it's for service. So they could take ownership, they can manage. So it was back and forth, but because it was all to do with management, it's sometimes like that. Because of management, there's some circumstances when they have to go back and forth. But as far as philosophy of the Bhagavatam, they can withdraw the philosophy from Bhagavatam. That is always, there's always the transcendental philosophy that we have to understand. What is the meaning to all this? The meaning is that there is a reason for everything. So it's universal management, Priyavrata, they all came to Priyavrata. Because he was the chosen one. He's the son of Brahma. So he had to accept a certain position to manage the universe. It's not that it's mundane. If God wants, if Brahma wants, that's only... If Brahma wants, that's in line with Krishna. Like I said in the beginning, because Brahma didn't do anything that's different from Krishna's order. So this is all in the Bhagavatam written down because we can understand that everything is in junction with Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.